This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the February 1st podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. My name is Natalie Pinchem, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. The topics covered in this week's podcast are oncology, functional neurosurgery, the peripheral nerve, and traumatic brain injury. Postoperative ischemic changes following resection of newly diagnosed and recurrent gliomas and their clinical relevance. A clinical article by Jens Gempt and colleagues. The aim of surgical treatment of glioma is the complete resection of tumor tissue with the preservation of neurological function. Inclusion of diffusion-weighted imaging in the postoperative MRI protocol could improve the delineation of ischemia-associated postoperative neurological deficits. The authors undertook this study to assess the incidence of infarctions following resection of newly diagnosed glioma in comparison to the incidence of following resection of recurrent glioma and the influence of these infarctions on neurological function. Patients who underwent resection for newly diagnosed or recurrent gliomas had early postoperative MR imaging, including diffusion-weighted imaging and apparent diffusion coefficient maps. Areas of restricted diffusion on these early postoperative studies were classified as arterial territorial infarctions, terminal branch infarctions, or venous infarctions. Tumor entity, location, and neurological function were recorded. New ischemic lesions were found postoperatively in 31% of the patients with newly diagnosed gliomas and 80% of the patients with recurrent gliomas. New permanent or transient neurological deficits were more frequent in patients with recurrent gliomas than in patients with newly diagnosed tumors. Patients with neurological deficits displayed a significantly higher rate of ischemic lesions. The authors conclude that perioperative infarctions do have an impact on postoperative neurological function, and radiogenic and postoperative tissue changes could contribute to the higher risk for an ischemic infarction in patients with recurrent tumors. Long-term ongoing cortical remodeling after contralateral C7 nerve transfer. A clinical article by Xu Yun Hua and co-authors. Contralateral C7 nerve transfer is a complex peripheral arrangement, and the dramatic peripheral alteration may trigger extensive cortical reorganization. However, little is known about the long-term results after such specific nerve transfer. In the present study, the authors used functional MRI methods to investigate the long-term cortical adaptive plasticity after brachial plexus avulsion injury and contralateral C7 nerve transfer in 5 male patients. The neuroimaging results suggested that the ongoing cortical remodeling process after contralateral C7 nerve transfer could last for a long period, at least 5 years. The motor control of the re-innervated limb may finally transfer from the ipsilateral hemisphere to the contralateral hemisphere exclusively, instead of bilateral neural network activation. The authors believe that successful cortical transfer is the foundation of independent motor recovery after peripheral rearrangement. Gamma knife thalamotomy for tremor in the magnetic resonance imaging era. A clinical article by Ali Kushkabadi and co-workers. Currently, thalamic deep brain stimulation, where it's available, may be the most common surgical procedure for medically refractory essential or Parkinsonian tremor. Stereotactic radiofrequency thalamotomy is still performed where deep brain stimulation may not be available or affordable. Both procedures are rarely performed in patients over the age of 80 or in those with medical comorbidities in whom open surgery is thought to be associated with unacceptable risk. For such patients, stereotactic radiosurgical thalamotomy using the Gamma Knife is an important and underutilized option. During the last 15 years, target selection has improved as MRI technologies have advanced. Clinical outcomes show that most patients have significant improvement in tremor disability and that the procedure is well tolerated, particularly in elderly or infirm patients. The radiobiological effect of the radiosurgical lesion is unique. The effect consists of a limited central target necrosis, 3 to 4 millimeters in diameter, where the highest dose is delivered. This central zone is surrounded by a non-necrotic peripheral or halo effect that may also provide therapeutic benefit to thalamic cells generating tumor. This peripheral effect may address the primary criticism of tremor ablative radiosurgery, that is, the lack of intraoperative electrophysiology target confirmation. In-hospital mortality after traumatic brain injury surgery. A nationwide, population-based comparison of mortality predictors used in artificial neural network and logistic regression models. A clinical article by Hon-Yi Shi and colleagues. In the literature, most reports have compared artificial neural network models and logistic regression models in only a single dataset, and the essential issue of internal validity or reproducibility of the models has not been adequately addressed. The purpose of this study was to validate the use of the artificial neural network model for predicting in-hospital mortality after traumatic brain injury surgery, and to compare the predictive accuracy of the artificial neural network model with that of the logistic regression model. This study retrospectively analyzed 16,956 patients nationwide who had sustained traumatic brain injury and who were surgically treated in Taiwan between 1998 and 2009. For every 1,000 pairs of artificial neural network and logistic regression models, the area under the receiver operating characteristic curve, Hosmer-Lemachaux statistics, and accuracy rate were calculated and compared using paired t-tests. The global sensitivity analysis of in-hospital mortality also showed that the most influential or sensitive parameters in the artificial neural network model were surgeon volume, followed by hospital volume, Charlson comorbidity index, length of stay, sex, and then age. This work supports the continued use of artificial neural network models for predictive modeling of neurosurgery outcomes. However, further studies are needed to confirm the clinical efficacy of the proposed model. Brainstem gangliogliomas, a retrospective series. A clinical article by Si Zhang and co-authors. Intracranial gangliogliomas are rare, especially those occurring in the brainstem. Only a limited number of cases have been reported. The authors of this study retrospectively analyzed the clinical data for patients with gangliogliomas, and they describe their treatment strategy. In the last 6 years, 7 patients suffering from brainstem gangliogliomas were treated at their hospital. The clinical and radiological presentations for this disease are nonspecific, and thus a tentative diagnosis can be difficult. Subtotal and partial resections were achieved through posterior fossa craniectomy, removing the exophytic and relatively superficial part of the tumor. Can be done to pathologically confirm the diagnosis and subsequently improve clinical symptoms. Favorable prognoses were gained during the follow-up period. Therefore, the diagnosis of brainstem gangliogliomas is very important. The role of radiotherapy and chemotherapy is dubious, and thus these treatments should be reserved only for those patients with tumor progression and recurrence. These authors recommend the maximal safe surgery, followed by close observation without adjuvant therapy, as the optimal treatment for this disease. Successful management of an acute subdural hematoma in a patient dependent on continuous treprostinil infusion therapy. A case report by Mina Safain and co-workers. Acute subdural hematomas are a common indication for emergency craniotomy, and clinical management in the setting of anticoagulation can be challenging. A relatively new prostacycline analog, treprostinil, has been used to treat pulmonary arterial hypertension. This drug is administered via a continuous subcutaneous infusion, and unfortunately, like other prostacycline analogs, has antiplatelet effects. Additionally, the effects of the medication are short-lived, and disrupting the continuous infusion, even for short periods of time, has been associated with increased mortality and pulmonary deterioration. In the current article, the authors present a unique case of a patient in whom an acute subdural hematoma developed after a mechanical fall while on treprostinil as well as warfarin. Despite adequate INR correction, the patient's SDH continued to expand, requiring emergency craniotomy for hematoma evacuation. The authors described the surgical dilemma of managing this type of patient while she was also on a necessary antiplatelet medication. Surprisingly, in this case, the patient's subdural hematoma expanded and ultimately necessitated emergency evacuation, but there was minimal intraoperative blood loss. The authors offer rational and possible theories for these findings, while also providing evidence of safety in performing a craniotomy in patients receiving infusions of treprostinil. Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. The Journal of Neurosurgery mobile app is now available. You can find it in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. You can also